Stone, a lot of pressure is being placed on large-scale financial institutions to adopt climate-related risk policies. You have written about this. Tell us what agencies are involved and what is the Biden administration attempting to accomplish here?
In relation to the climate risk rulemakings that we're seeing out of the federal government, this is taking the form of a whole of government approach. So this is not just one agency that's doing this. We can see this most strongly from the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, the Office of Comptroller of the Currency, and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. And SEC, their primary rule in this area is their climate disclosure rule that was finalized in early March and is currently being challenged in a number of courts as we speak. And the other agencies, the FDIC, OCC, and the Federal Reserve, have also proposed their own joint climate risk rulemakings that are targeting the largest banks in the U.S.
What are they attempting to accomplish with these proposed rules?
For the climate disclosure rule, the SEC's rule, they are trying to adopt the first climate-based disclosure for companies. So first, mandatory disclosure, where a large segment of the America's public companies will have to disclose their exposure to climate change risk. They have to basically explain how climate change affects their operations, investment decisions, business model, and financial conditions, and have to basically calculate their greenhouse gas emissions, their direct emissions and their indirect emissions, and report that to the SEC. The other rules are their joint rules across the Fed, the FDIC, and the OCC. That's basically a guidance. So it's not like doesn't have like the full effect of law, but it's a guidance that's trying to pressure large financial banks to adopt more stringent climate change risk management. So they're basically saying that the risk management, the internal risk management policies of these banks aren't enough. They need to do more to accommodate transition risks relating to climate change and physical risks, so like hurricanes, wildfires, droughts, things that could affect the firms that they think are climate change inspired. That's what the guidance is trying to do, is try to get them to adopt these principles.
Doesn't this sort of leave open a lot of subjectiveness here, Stone? And really, what sort of regulations can you put into place to try to measure something of this sort?
That's a very chief concern that I and others who have criticized these rules have had, is that these agencies are really imposing a subjective bias in the rulemakings. The SEC is making a critical error in assuming that all companies are going to have a uniform, consistent view of their climate change risk or of climate change in terms of it being a material concern for the firms. But that's clearly not true. Every firm is going to have a varying perspective of climate change. Some board of directors might not think of climate change as being materially relevant to their operations, and they might not even have oversight over that. But that doesn't stop the SEC from forcing them to report climate change risks in their disclosures. And the same for these risk management principles by the bank regulators. It's assuming that the internal risk management principles of our largest banks aren't good enough, that the banks don't know what's best for them in terms of climate change risk. So they need to adopt this kind of whole of government uniform standard that requires them to report climate change risk. And so it's very the danger of regulators kind of subjectively evaluating climate change as if it's like a really principal concern is unrealistic. They should just allow the firms to assess their own risk without having the government determine what those risks are.
Is there a role for Congress to play in all of this, Stone? It would seem to me that this is a considerable regulatory overreach by the executive branch. Can Congress do anything about it?
To that point, yeah, Congress actually is taking action against all four of these rules, the SEC rule and then the three joint rulemaking guidances. They're doing that by passing a series of what is called Congressional Review Act resolutions, or CRA resolutions. And the Congressional Review Act, it was a important piece of legislation passed in 1996 that basically gives Congress a tool to check administrative abuses from agencies. And by that, they could pass a resolution that could actually overturn a rule and also an informal guidance. So it can be a guidance document like which was passed by the FDIC, the Fed, and the OCC. So basically, the House Republicans and the House Financial Services Committee have passed these four resolutions targeting each of these rulemakings. They've all passed through the committee, and now they're just being prepared to be looked at by the entire House on the floor. And also the Senate Republicans have adopted a companion resolution to overturn the SEC's climate disclosure rule, because the rule is very unpopular in both houses of Congress and has been like that for the past 2 years. They've also attracted support from Senator Joe Manchin, so it does have bipartisan support, and it might likely attract other Democratic senators as well. I believe 34 senators have sponsored the resolution. So, yeah, that's just some of the action that's happening in Congress right now.
So this is aimed primarily, as we've pointed out here, at the large-scale financial institutions. What about smaller institutions here, Stone, who may not have the staff, they may not have the attorneys, they may not have the accountants, they might not be able to have the resources they need to make these type of assessments? Could this leave them open to litigation and liability down the road?
That's a very good concern, and it is very relevant, particularly with the risk management, climate risk management principles. Because it's targeted at large banks, one would assume that perhaps small banks are kind of exempt from this, or they don't really have to worry about it. But it's actually a misnomer, because the principles are basically going to create something what's called regulatory capture, where the large firms are going to be able to have the risk management policies in place to be able to be in compliance with other environmental or climate change policies out of government. So the banks are going to kind of know how to navigate the regulatory landscape about what to kind of not be on the bad side of the regulators, while the small firms, the ones that have much less capital, who aren't compliant to these guidances, they're going to be more vulnerable to litigation, because a lot of investors, activist investors, are going to say, well, these small firms aren't doing enough to kind of hedge against the risk that climate change proposes, like the big banks are doing. And they're probably going to see a lot of lawsuits to the small banks to kind of get in line with the larger firms that have already kind of adopted the principles out of the regulators, the climate change principles. So, yeah, it's going to create what's called regulatory capture. The small firms are going to have to be pressured into getting in line with the larger firms, or risk losing a lot of shareholder divestment or shareholder lawsuits against them. And it's going to be very problematic.
Stone Washington is a research fellow in the Center for Advancing Capitalism at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Stone, tell us a bit about CEI. Also, where can folks find you on the web?
The best way to find me is at www.cei.org. And you can just find me under the staff page, clicking on Stone Washington, and all my articles, op-eds, references are on my page there. And I also have a Facebook and Twitter, and my Twitter handle is StoneZone47.
Stone Washington of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Stone, thank you for taking time to be with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Loman. I appreciate it.